Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced no matter how hard they try, and they are trying. I want to welcome everyone to today's edition. A lot of news, as usual. Is this the new normal? Are we looking at the new normal? By that I mean shutdowns, closings, social distancing. By the way, if there is one phrase I dislike, as much as I dislike emojis, which is the 21st century equivalent of hieroglyphics, is that phrase social distancing. All right. There's just something that grates on me about that. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I feel that way. Folks, I'm going to start today off by saying this. This hour is going to be dedicated to this topic, this theme, this idea that something dark exists within the coronavirus crisis. Something dark is riding this wave. There is something embedded, attached to, or embracing what we're seeing today. I spent a long time on the telephone with people that are in the know, with people on the West Coast and throughout the power centers of the government. And there is this ill feeling. There is a very palpable feeling among people. And I want to know if you feel it too. Perhaps that walk into the grocery store Sunday or yesterday or Saturday or whenever you might have done that, aside from the shortages and aside from whatever you might have seen, do the little hairs on the back of your neck stand up? I'm serious about this. What exactly are we looking at? What exactly are we experiencing? Now, I'm going to toss out some figures. Now, remember, with respect to this novel coronavirus, or more very specifically, the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus. Oh, is that going to anger people? Does that anger people? I've already been called a misogynist, so how about a xenophobe? By the way, the Chinese communists are outraged over President Trump using the term Chinese virus. That's exactly what it is. They demand that we correct the mistake immediately. Really? And of course, you've heard about this, the threats of withholding medication, drugs. You know that China makes 96% of penicillin, or antibiotics, I should say. And 80% of either the medications or the components for the medications delivered to the United States, imported into the United States. How in the hell do we allow that to happen? Under whose watch did that happen? Why? And I want to know, you know, if I was running things, I would be really, I'd be upset about this, obviously. Outsourcing. I run a business here. I could not outsource, for example, the technical side of things. Like what Eric does in house, in studio. I could not outsource that. And if I did, shame on me. And especially to somebody, you know, somebody in India, for example, or China. It doesn't make any sense. Why? For cheap labor? Is that it? Look at the intertwined relationships with the Chinese and the lawmakers. More importantly, the China, or equally important, the Chinese and our governors of the United States. Pompeo said something. I don't know. You know what? I had given you, Eric, I know that you're not ready for this and I apologize. I'd given you, I think it was yesterday, a video clip. And I'm not sure if I identified it as Pompeo or not. I think it was like a 5 minute audio clip or a video clip that featured Pompeo. Do you have that handy? Yeah, I know you don't have it handy. Do you? What's that? I don't know. Give me some other choices. All right.
Did you send it at an earlier date?
No, it was yesterday. Let's see what was, today's what, Tuesday, right? Tuesday's was Stan.
Well, you sent me two yesterday. We played the one.
All right. Let's, this is important because this, okay, if this is what I think it is, this tells a story, and I did not see this on any mainstream media channel. I heard about it, but I didn't see it, and certainly it wasn't circulated enough. And really, I'm interested in like the last 45 seconds of that. But maybe it was on. Maybe it was yesterday. I'm sure. All right. So, I mean, you can even let's let it play out. Okay, go ahead and play this. Folks, watch this in terms and think in terms of the Chinese incestuous relationship. We know about Dianne Feinstein. We know about the Clintons, obviously. But there's another part of this, too. And it's a part that I haven't heard many people talk about. Go ahead and play that. Hopefully it's the right one. If not, we'll just play off that one.
U.S. Secretary of State Pompeo made it publicly known that there is a list of U.S. state governors who have been doing business with the communist Chinese.
Indeed, last year, a Chinese government-backed think tank in Beijing produced a report that assessed all 50 of America's governors on their attitudes towards China. They labeled each of you friendly, hardline, or ambiguous. I'll let you decide where you think you belong. Someone in China already has. Many of you, indeed, in that report are referenced by name.
Okay.
For Infowars.com.
There it is. Many of you are referenced by name. He's talking to the governors of all 50 states. Or if you're Obama, all 57. Think about what he just said. That's Pompeo. Courtesy of Bandit.video, InfoWars, Alex Jones. All right, now keep that in the back of your mind. That's all. As we progress this hour, keep that in the back of your mind, because what's up with that? Wait a minute. The Chinese are issuing essentially intelligence reports, naming by name the governors of the United States who are friendly, who are hardline, or, well, we're friendly. All right. Again, keep that in the back of your mind. But I contend that something dark exists within the coronavirus crisis, and something dark this way comes. Now, a couple of things about this. We are essentially on this rolling lockdown. We are experiencing this rolling lockdown. The Kentucky Derby, for example, 75 years hasn't happened in 75 years. Postponed until September. Disneyland World, whatever it is, closing. All of these things taking place. Now, I've got other videos that punch some things home. my friend Owen Schroyer, did very well in sharing with what I'm in sharing my sentiments. And let's go with, I'll tell you what, let's go with this. The first one to prove, or wait a minute, the first one I think might be a Daily Caller report. We'll set the stage with the Daily Caller report and then drill down with the other two videos. So let's set the stage. You saw Pompeo. That's something to keep in the back of your mind as we progress through this hour. Let's hit the Daily Caller, DC Shorts. I want to thank the Daily Caller for allowing us to use this. Let's take a look at this as kind of a baseline. Go ahead.
Trucks are coming and going. Okay, now there's somebody who's being number. We'll talk to you guys a little bit later.
It's your fault that people are freaking out here. You all are the ones that are at fault. This is no worse than the flu.
You're the one here at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, bye.
Well, no, call your
fault. No. Your editors.
Thank you.
You're all the scum of the earth.
Bye.
And I don't even blame the Chinese. I don't blame them at all. They did everything right. It's you all that are hyping things up.
Told to prepare, Pittsburghers are taking a page from pre-snowstorm mode, going after the toilet paper.
The end of the line for the toilet paper and paper towels is right here.
Please. I just want one pack.
No, not one pack.
What's the limit?
Un avión. Ahora mismo son las 12 del mediodía aquí.
It's also the only time in history all of Disney's parks worldwide will be closed at once.
The National Hockey League has suspended its season, while Major League Baseball has suspended spring training and postponed opening day.
For the first time ever, as you can see, if you looked around, we make the decision not to have a studio audience, and this is unprecedented.
The city just announced both Ultra and Calle Ocho are canceled out of precaution due to the virus.
The release date for No Time to Die, which is the new Bond film, has been pushed back from April to November.
Dublin also putting a stop to an annual tradition this year. The city has canceled its St. Patrick's Day parade.
And now confirmation, the Shanghai race due in April is off, postponed indefinitely.
Japan's popular Cherry Blossom Festival has been canceled over virus concerns.
And also tonight, announcing that they'll cancel on-campus classes to prevent the spread of the virus. The final 2 weeks of winter quarter will not be in person. Instead, they will move to online format.
Columbia University is suspending classes tomorrow and Tuesday after a member of its community was quarantined due to exposure. The university says it plans to shift to remote classes for the rest of the week.
Harvard University is taking some drastic measures to try to stop the spread of coronavirus, including telling students to stay away after spring break, and for those living in the dorms here to leave by the 15th.
That's a sad picture out here now that the rodeo has officially closed. You can see some of the vendors are still busy trying to pack up their booths this hour. Now, the decision has not been well received by them.
Tonight, a devastating blow to Austin's economy as the city declares a disaster and cancels this year's South by Southwest Festival that would have brought 500,000 attendees and hundreds of millions of dollars.
The Sanders campaign announced it was canceling a rally scheduled for tonight in Ohio. The governor has declared a state of emergency and urged groups not to hold large indoor events.
Whenever we do rallies, we consult with public health officials because the last thing in the world that we will ever want to do is put anybody in danger.
A short time later, the Biden campaign canceled a Cleveland rally of its own.
And also in the NCAA, the Big Ten, the SEC, and American all out canceling their respective tournaments moments ago.
And I want to thank again the Daily Caller Foundation, DC Shorts, for allowing me to play that video. Now, the reason, again, the reason I wanted that video played is because of one, really one major point. Fighting the coronavirus epidemic, it gave China, did it not, the absolute perfect excuse for unleashing the full force of its surveillance and data collection powers. Now, once that outbreak is controlled, it is certainly unclear, however unlikely, that the government will retract its new powers. The lesson at hand here is once any government is allowed to expand its powers, it is almost impossible to pull back. Now, here in the United States, the government has limited, thus far, coronavirus preparations to missives, to these elementary school videos of how to wash your hands. Let me say this. If we have to be taught how to properly wash our hands at this point, and we're above the age of, I don't know, 12, we've got some big problems here in this country, in my view. But again, these public service announcements, sing the alphabet, happy birthday, wash your hands, make sure you get the thumbs, the web between your fingers, do we have to do that? I mean, are we that imbecilic that we have to be reminded of this? And certainly remember to cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze, for example. But folks, don't go underestimating. Do not underestimate the government, the United States government, their ability to lock this nation down once this turns into this perceivable pandemic. You saw what, in the DC Shorts video, you saw the anger and playing that, for a couple of reasons. The anger of the individual saying it's your fault, pointing to the media. And the media, of course, standing in front of the, one of the big box stores out in the West and fueling all of this. You know, it's amazing. So there's a shortage on toilet paper. Why? It's a self-imposed shortage. So it's a consequence of this media saying you need to stock up. And of course, toilet paper. Why not, mousetraps? Well, maybe that's a bad example, but you get the idea. I don't have to throw in a bunch of examples. How about long-term storable food? I was amazed when I went into the store and I saw perishables disappear before I saw the long-term storables disappear. The canned goods. What are people thinking? But yet we're being told to wash our hands. I guess maybe that's class two or class three. Maybe that's above our mentality, right? But the point is this, the building blocks right now, well, the government has been planning and preparing for any crisis, a crisis like this, for many years now. The building blocks are already in place for such an eventuality as this. The surveillance networks, the fusion centers, the government contractors that already share information in real time, the government's massive biometric database that can identify individuals based on genetic and biological markers, the militarized police working in conjunction with the federal agencies, ready and able to coordinate with the federal government when it's time to round up the targeted individuals. Oh, remember how the targeted individuals whatever, if you want a colored list, color-coded list, red, yellow, orange, green, blue, purple, whatever it might be. Oh, that's all just stuff of conspiracy nonsense. Oh, really? Ask some people in China how that's working out. And by all means, I see China being brought here, at least in terms of the working part of this. There's people are all too ready to cooperate with federal agencies in China, where they turn in neighbors in order to increase their social credit score. You know, again, we have people, agencies, groups, organizations working in conjunction with federal agencies, ready and able to coordinate with federal government when it's time to round up these targeted individuals. The courts that will sanction the government's methods, we've seen it. The big deal over the FISA courts, the big deal over these FISA warrants. And do you think that was for naught? Regardless of its legality, regardless of how lawful it might be, as long as it's done in the name of national security, what are we seeing happen today in the name of national security? You are seeing a direct assault on our rights. Now, I ask you, does the threat, and this is something you're going to have to decide, does the threat equal the reaction? You know, it's often stated, Anthony Fauci, the doctor you see on TV, I've got an issue with him. I do. Don't forget, he was awarded medals by Bush and Obama, right? You're going to have to decide, I suppose, you know, is this right? Is this proper? Is this a legitimate concern where we must, for example, give up, albeit temporarily or not, some of our rights to assemble? Oh, in Pennsylvania, your right to buy liquor. Yeah. Your right to purchase firearms. Champaign, Illinois. The detention facilities, whether private prisons or FEMA internment camps, they've been built. They're waiting for occupants. Now, you might think that I'm overstating this or this sounds very far-fetched, but I think we can all agree that we've arrived at this Orwellian 1984 Huxley's Brave New World, as Paul McGuire talks about, Minority Report by Philip K. Dick. I think we're there. We're here, are we not? It's not going to take us, it's not going to take much more to push us over the edge. In which the majority of humanity, the unwashed masses, we are relegated to a system of surveillance and of incarceration at the end, maybe to re-educate us in the name of keeping us healthy and safe and forced vaccinations and you name it. This is where we're headed. Look, while these technologies are already being used today and they're being promoted as elements for your life saving, your protection, to save your life, it saves money, for example. It saves time. All of this does, right? It's not going to be too long before the drawbacks to having a government equipped with technology, we're already equipped with most of it, that makes government or those behind the monitors all seeing, all knowing. They can see you. They can hear you. Look at China. They could take your temperature. Again, we talk about pre-crime, crime and pre-crime. They could tell your attitude. Lord knows they could tell mine. It ain't good. But we're helping them out. You and I are helping them out. On a daily basis, we as Americans are relinquishing, and I would say voluntarily relinquishing, the most intimate details of who we are, of what we do, of our biological makeup, and if you think about it, our genetic blueprints, our biometrics, the facial characteristics, just by simply posting on Facebook and other social media realms. I do it because I'm here. They don't have to go far. They don't have to go to Facebook. I'm already out there. But what about those who aren't? Fingerprints. Iris scans. You heard Celeste Solemn talking about it. Consider all the ways that we continue to be tracked, to hunted and hounded and stalked by government and the agents working on behalf of government by tapping into our phone lines, cell phone, online communications. The government knows what we say. By uploading our emails, opening our email, reading our Facebook posts, and they do this. The government reads the Facebook posts. They read our emails. They read our text messages. The government knows what we write. They monitor our movements with the use of license plate readers. You know this. This is nothing new to you. Although you know something, I'll tell you this. There are a lot of hard sells out there who don't want to believe this. So if you think that this is boring and this is rehashing things, then I apologize for insulting your intelligence. But there are some people out there that don't have this information and don't have this level of information that you do. So I congratulate you and ask you to move on and let me talk to those who are just awakening, who are home maybe for the first time, or who are free for the first time watching this broadcast. This is for you. But we have government churning through all of the aspects, every aspect of our lives, what we read, where we go. And you know, by this, the government can predict exactly what our next move might be. And you know, there's also the mapping of our brain. Mapping of the human domain through Jade Helm, of course. It's funny when I read, and I'm going to say this to Myrtle out there. You know, when I read in a lawsuit in the legal papers that Jade Helm, I made a big deal about Jade Helm. And of course, that was all conspiracy theory. Yeah, that's part of an evolving lawsuit against me, which is entirely crap in my particular opinion. What's the objective, by the way, of doing that? So you know it's personal with me. Eric the Tech, you want to make sure that time is marked appropriately in the day and the time on this. That way I can go back to it and offer it up in discovery if need be. Thank you. But you have the government accessing DNA. You've got the government soon that will know everything else about us that they don't already know. Our family history, our family chart, our genetics, or ancestry, what we look like, what our kids will look like, our health history, inclination to follow orders, or chart our own course. This is the surveillance state. How does this, by the way, have you strayed from, there's something dark with this coronavirus? Well, what are we seeing as a consequence to this? And these systems, by the way, are not immune from hacking. And most assuredly, they're not immune from user bias. Think about that. The ramifications of a government, any government having this and this much unregulated, unaccountable power to target, to track, to round up and to detain its citizens is beyond chilling. They're talking about installing a curfew in certain cities. Owen Schroyer asked the question, as I do, so the virus doesn't, what, the virus naps? Is that it? Just think about the next police state that would follow in the footsteps of Nazi Germany with this kind of power, and society is rapidly moving in this direction, and we've made it so easy for the government to watch us. All right. Now, a couple of things. What about the numbers? According to Stanford, let's go back to the Spanish flu real quickly. The Stanford numbers, 2.5% case fatality rate of the Spanish flu. 2.5%. That's the CFR case fatality rate for the Spanish flu back in 1917 through 1920 or 18 through 21, depending on what time period you want to look at. And CDC, according to the CDC, if you want to believe their numbers, they estimate that between October 1st of 2019 last year and March 7th of this year, there have been 36 million to 51 million flu illnesses. Now, that's a broad range. And why is that? Because some people don't report that they got the flu. All right. So now from that, 17 million to 24 million flu medical visits, people saying, hey, I don't feel good, doc. I don't think I got the flu. Let me go in and check me over and give me some meds, right? And from that, you had 370,000 to 670,000 flu hospitalizations. And of that, during that same time period, 22,000 to 55,000 flu deaths. According to statistics for the year prior, and that would be 2018, some 80,000 people died from the flu. And that was the highest death toll in 40 years. Now, these are CDC numbers, okay? Now, this is not to minimize coronavirus at all. I'm not doing that. I'm not minimizing it. I'm just giving you numbers and facts right now that I was able to verify through my own research. The H1N1 swine flu, some 60 million cases. The numbers of fatalities range. It depends on who you look at. Somewhere around 12,500 to 15,000 to 20,000 fatalities. We know a couple of things about the coronavirus. The numbers given by the communist Chinese, they're garbage. They're worthless. The numbers given by the Iranians, they're worthless as well. And you've got people in India bathing in cow dung. Have you seen that? And you've got people drinking cow urine and, you know, as whatever. We are seeing, I believe, there is a friction, and folks, think about this statement, there's a friction between two different realities. We know one thing. I think we can say this with certainty, that this specific virus, the composition shows that it was purposely created. How it was released, whether it was accidental or intentional, I don't know. But the virus itself was purposely created. There's a 40-minute or 30-minute video about the wet markets in China and how they are bringing in the wildlife and stacking the cages upon cages. And I get all that. And how just a very small percentage of the Chinese actually engage in eating this exotic wildlife stuff. It's the rich and the one percenters, you know, in China. But I'd be hard-pressed to believe that you've got at least two jumps between species to get to a human virus, despite the wet markets. Now, there's been a lot of talk about patents. There's a patent for avian infectious bronchitis virus, not the COVID-19 as it's known. Listen carefully. Based on my research, here's what I found. There is a patent for avian infectious bronchitis virus, not the virus of COVID-19 that we are calling COVID-19. Why? Well, when you open up the patent and look at the patent, it states that the present invention relates to an attenuated coronavirus comprising a variant replicase gene, okay, which causes the virus to have reduced pathogenicity. Say that five times. The present invention also relates to the use of such a coronavirus in a vaccine to prevent or treat a disease. What this is stating is they have a patent on the virus in order to patent the vaccine, reverse engineer the virus into a vaccine, or the other way around. Regardless, this is what they've got. It was on July 23rd of 2015, some 5 years ago, when a request for a patent was made. And after those who opposed the patent had been heard, the patent was upheld on June 19th of 2019. That's 4 years. And this is last year. So the patent request was granted on June 19th of 2019. One of the strange oddities of this patent offering was and is, as I mentioned, attenuation and restoration of severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus mutant lacking. I'm not going to read the rest of this because it's scientific gibberish to me. But just, I'm citing the Journal of Virology, volume 88, number 8. The reason I bring this up is there's something about this that they want us to believe it originated in a Chinese wet market of wild animals for food, when in fact, not so much. Now, the latest number of cases that I've found, as of last night at 11 o'clock Eastern Time, think about this, there were 182,405 cases with 7,154 deaths. When you just do simple, and I know that this is not the correct way to do this, but just using those numbers, if you take 7,154 divided by 182,405, what do you get? You get a 0.039 or 3.9% mortality rate. You have a mortality rate that's approaching 4%. In using those figures. Now, some will say, oh, you can't use those figures because we don't know, and that's very true, we don't know the total number of infections. And yes, that's very true. But tell that to Italy right now. Tell that to the people who, tell that to the doctors who are deciding who must live and who must die. So, is this a thing? Is this real? Yes, it's real. But there's a different kind of payload built into this. What I'm trying to say, while this is real, and while this appears to have a constantly evolving mortality rate, because we don't know how many people are infected, we really don't. We don't know much about anything about this. And given that, You see entire cities shutting down. You see casinos. When's the last time you saw a casino shutting down? the entire Las Vegas Strip or the majority of this. Think about this. If you have an emergency where the police are called to a casino, let's say it's a hostage standoff. Do you know what you're taught? And Las Vegas police, I guarantee you, SWAT team, bomb squads, whatever. What's one of the things that is absolutely ingrained in your training as a police officer? If you are working the strip, let's say as a SWAT team member or as a member of the bomb squad, get her done, get her finished. You know why? Because every minute that you are there disrupting casino operations, they are losing millions of dollars. Yet now they've shut down operations. Over this. Again, not to downplay this, but is this any of this making sense to you? The love of liberty appears to be on life support. We appear to be comatose. And I'm saddened about this. I'm not dismissing the potential lethality of this virus. But like always, I ask for leadership and of course they won't. Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. We can handle the truth. I don't need to see a 5-minute video on how to wash my hands. I would like to see a 5-second or 10-second video on the real truth of the matter behind this. We're not children. We're adults. At least most of us are. And we can handle the truth. Let's play clip number two. It would be two, I believe. Owen Schroer, good friend, and I agree with him on this. I agree with Owen Schroer. Again, I'm not downplaying the significance of COVID-19, or more appropriately, remember, it is the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus or communist Chinese coronavirus. And play clip two.
Censoring, they're threatening, they're shutting down that information. And why is it? Because they're getting ready in record time to roll out a vaccine and other treatments from big pharmaceutical companies that you will be required to use. Now, I had a cybersecurity white hat, and he does government contract work, and he's given me a lot of information in the past that's been reliable. He sent me a picture of what is coming. Guys, can you pull this up from my tweet at Libertarian? You can see this at Libertarian for a while before they take my account down for letting this information out. But what it is a wristband, color-coded. He said they're working on the final thing here. You will go to a checkpoint if you want to travel. They will swab your nose or your mouth, and then they will give you a test. And if you have no COVID-19, you'll get a daily pass, and they will change the color on a daily basis. And as I pointed out, welcome to America with a K. The TSA was just the start, folks, and we didn't shut that tyranny down after 9/11. Folks, if they can get away with a fantasy like 9/11 to enact the kind of tyranny and militarized police state, surveillance state that they have done, just go back and just look at the overall narrative that they're selling everybody. You've got a bunch of guys that go from caves to airliners. They can fly these airliners at lower altitudes and faster speeds than any of these pilots who've flown them for decades and operate as flight instructors for those very planes. They say, well, you can't fly those planes that low that fast. You've got architects and engineers who say you're not going to have steel skyscrapers, especially those, collapse in their own footprint in just a couple of hours. And it wasn't just the buildings that were hit by the plane. You had three buildings fall into their footprints, and there were only two planes. Only two of them were even hit by planes. If you can sell that kind of nonsense to the American public to get them to accept the suspension of the Bill of Rights, what do you think they're going to be able to do as everybody is peeing in their pants about the coronavirus?
That was David Knight, and I apologize for, I have Owen Schroyer too. David Knight, I spent some quality time with him in Missouri. Great guy. Now, let me posit something here. Today, every small g god of America seems to have fallen, or at least to be on hiatus. Hollywood, sports, various television shows canceled. I bet you a lot of people know about that, right? There is a document. It's a Rockefeller Organization document that was published back in 2010. What is happening today, I would submit to you, is not by accident. Everything was planned. Bill Gates, for example, talked about this pandemic, a pandemic, 4 years ago. The document I'm referencing is titled Scenario for Future Technology and International Development. It's a 53-page document. How many people are talking about this? It says, the document spells out likely scenarios. Again, the title, Scenario for Future Technology and International Development, 53 pages, says that 20% of the world's population will be infected. This is talking about introducing a virus into the world population. People's mobility will be blocked. Airports will be closed. Sports events will be canceled. Shops will be closed. Theaters shut down. Churches will be shuttered. This pandemic will produce shortages as it was designed to do. Including, and listen to this, including and especially toilet paper and disinfectants. This is a 2010 document. If people refuse, a vaccine will be developed, and if people refuse the vaccine, they're not going to be allowed to travel. What did we just see from David Knight? And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to pull in information from every place I can to show you what's happening. Again, this is not to diminish the threat or the lethality or even address that of this virus. I'm just telling you what's going on as part of it. People's, if you refuse the vaccine, you're not going to be able to travel. Political assemblies will be illegal. Assembly, what are you seeing? Anybody over, any group over 50? Then 10. And, there was one. You can't even meet in someone's house. As an aside, remember during Prohibition what happened with Prohibition. Speakeasies. Protests will be banned. Martial law will be introduced, whether it's medical or otherwise. This new global control system will come into effect. People around the world will be open to sharing their security rights for the promise of health and not dying. Give me the vaccine so I don't die. Whether this was introduced with that intent or exploited thereof, I don't know. But this is a plan. This 2010 document, Gates document, again, I'm going to say this one more time, titled Scenario for Future Technology and International Development. It's 53 pages. Is the blueprint to use a pandemic to gain control over you and me, over the planet. Not just a virus is sufficient. Fear must be added. This virus, just so people understand, has been in America since last year. Earlier than believed. You know, globalists, they're leading us into a single government, a single monetary system. Pretty soon, as we had said, your cash, your money, it carries pathogens. It carries contagions. We have to switch to something less threatening for your safety and your health and your well-being. I would submit to you that is what is taking place. Have you noticed gun sales? Have you seen the lines at gun shops? Have you noticed the run on ammunition? That's not being covered by the media. Because people inherently know something is not right. As I close out this hour, leaving you with that theme, something dark exists within this coronavirus crisis. Let's close out with Owen Schroyer. This time, Owen Schroyer, I'm right. David Knight was the first. Owen Schroyer, this one here on his thoughts. Let's play that.
Every frontline page, coronavirus outbreak. Shutting down streets, shutting down this, shutting down sporting events. Not a single case until Saturday. So what is the hysteria really about here? If this is a bioweapon, whether it came from China or came from the U.S. or came from Israel, came from anywhere, I don't know. We don't get to know anything. If that's what's going on, we deserve to know. I'm not going to be told 2 + 2 = 5 and not be angry about it. I'm pissed off. 2 + 2 does not equal 5. Where is the one in this formula? Where is the missing one that you got to equal 5? Is it a bioweapon or is this a deep state plan to destroy the U.S. economy and keep Trump from being reelected? It's either one of those. There's the one. 2 + 2 does not equal 5. 2 + 2 + 1 = 5. Tell us the one or I'm not believing the 5.
Regular Americans going, I need to arm myself in case the looters come for me. Or, you know, in my case, in case tyranny starts to come about and we need to arm up and stick together with our neighbors and, you know, defend ourselves against whatever tyranny, you know, forced vaccinations, whatever is coming down the pipe. So to me, you know, this big fear of we have to arm ourselves and, you know, protect ourselves. It's really kind of a good thing because regular people are going to be armed now. Regular people recognize the government is not going to be here to protect you when something really major happens. So you better be ready to protect yourself. I'm emboldened by this personally.
Yeah, I was going to say if somebody, you know, let's say somebody decided they were going to raid my neighborhood, I'd feel much more comfortable knowing all my neighbors were armed to the teeth, yeah, like myself.
I think now would be the time to commute some sentences.
To exact clemency,
mm-hmm, and to take care of our most vulnerable. 10% of those that are incarcerated are over the age of 60 and already have an underlying condition. We should be using compassionate release.
Did you catch that? Do you understand what you just heard? What she just said? Because, you know, liars who are, of course, exposed by blinking, as the Telegraph lets us know. Liars can't just come out and say what they want to do. She didn't just come out and say, because of coronavirus, we need to release prisoners. She had to couch it in all this language of our most vulnerable and those in incarceration. Many are older and blah, blah, blah. Well, you shed all the nonsense. You get rid of all the chaff. And what's left there is a shining little diamond of bull crap that's saying we need to release prisoners because of the coronavirus. This is the modern world. This is modern warfare. Okay, you don't have men, strong men, going up against other men to test their strength and find a victor. No, now it's all about perception. Now you have to be seen as a victim to be a victor. It's all insanity. It's all upside down. It's all topsy-turvy. And what are we left with? We're left with a grown man holding his 10-year-old daughter and throwing her at police with shields. Just insanity, right? But this is what it's come to. Because if that guy were to just do what he actually wants to do, which is just rush this line of police and try to fight his way through, then we would know what he's doing. Then it's clear what he's up to. This is an invasion, a violent invasion. Oh, but if I throw my 10-year-old daughter at the police wall, then suddenly I'm a victim. Then suddenly it's the police that are bad for not letting this little girl go through. It's insane.
He ain't did nothing about the border. 5G's coming in like crazy. He ain't did nothing about censorship. The anti-vaxxers can't say anything they want to say. He's not saying anything on the news about nutrition. Mike Adams and the good doctor gets on and talks about vitamin C intravenously, iodine and peroxide for the nebulizer. We know silver is will combat these things. Is any of this stuff coming out of Trump's administration? Is any of this stuff coming out of Trump's mouth? No, he's a double agent.
Now, I disagree with that part because, again, and you can castigate me if you like, but I disagree with the blame President Trump on this. I understand what's not coming out of their mouth, but I understand as well the restrictions. And I'm not making excuses. It's just not as simple as that. If it were, we'd already see people in my view, if it were that simple, we would see justice prevail. And you know, I believe it's easy. Well, no, I believe it's, you know what? I don't even want to get in that discussion. I'm not trying to make excuses for this administration, but what I'm seeing is at least 100+ years of deep state entrenchment and people expecting it to be gone in 10 days. It ain't going to happen. And especially with all of the, with all of the other things that are surrounding, you know, our government and this current administration. So, but you get the idea too. And that guy with the 10-year-old girl, how dare that person? I would take him and I would smack him into next week. I'm serious. You take a young girl like that and use that girl as a weapon. I would use that guy as a baseball bat. It's ridiculous, but you can see Owen Schroer coming out. That was on Eric the Tech. Did I get that right? Owen Schroer was on the first part of that, right? Okay. Thanks, man. I just got to question myself sometimes, but you can see 1+1. It's not equaling 2. There's something wrong here. And again, something dark exists with what we're seeing today. I hope at least I made some sense to you. This is after listening, perhaps you listened yesterday. Something's amiss. What are we missing? Some people will say, well, you know, we're being put in our homes because there's this operation to overturn the deep state, to make mass arrests and such. I won't discount that. I would applaud. I would actually get down on my knees and thank God if that takes place. I ask you, have we seen anything to suggest that's coming? People ask for proof all the time. People ask for, well, what's your source? Okay, fair question. Are we engaged in hopium in that scenario? And I'd be more than happy to say, you know what, I was really wrong. And I'd be the first to admit it, and I guarantee you. What's the old saying? I'd strip naked and run down Main Street at noon and give you 2 hours to sell tickets. Whatever that's saying. But you get the idea, right? All right. You know, if it's Tuesdays, it's Tuesdays with Stan. Before I get to Stan, I want to tell you something. This is an election year. You know that. We know that. Now, can you imagine? Think about this. Can you imagine this? Having to hire a president. I mean, we are having to hire a president. Right? Determine who's the most qualified. But can you imagine having to do that and it's on you? Well, think about this. I've got a company. Maybe you're listening. You've got a company and you've got to hire someone with that's as valuable as a president, at least in your business. Telling you, by the way, this can be an interesting election year. Thankfully, not every position, not every role in your business is that difficult to fill. But there's something even easier. It's not that difficult to fill, especially when there's a ZipRecruiter. And today you can try ZipRecruiter for free. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. Their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job, and they actively invite them to apply. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Now, here's what you need to do, and I thank my friends at ZipRecruiter for making this possible. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. H-A-G-M-A-N-N. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. And you're going to thank me later. I guarantee it you're going to thank me. Guarantee it. All right. Stan Dale from StanDale.com. Everyone waits for his segment. Everyone does. Stan Dale's got a Patreon page where he releases his investigative work product to his patrons. And I'm a member, and I'll tell you what, I love to see his work product. It's fabulous. And Holly Day, of course, wrote Dare to Prepare. Do you have your copy? I guarantee you, if you had your copy when we said to get it, you wouldn't be out running for toilet paper. But it's even more relevant today. Dare to Prepare is more relevant today than ever before. Go to standeo.com. Dare to Prepare. Support Stan and Holly on Patreon. Stan, how you doing?
Yep.
You okay? How you doing, brother?
Okay, having a bit of computer troubles here. I backed up everything yesterday and reset something in it, so I couldn't even see Skype for a second here. But apparently I'm okay now. Is that right?
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Ah, that's good.
Yeah, right there. How you doing, Stan? I got to elbow bump you. Elbow bump you. You can't.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
Other side. That's all right.
Well, whatever. Yeah.
So.
Oh, gosh.
Nothing. Yeah, look, there's really not much to talk about. So I don't know. We don't have to talk today. We can just, nothing.
Yeah, shoot. About, right? There's no news today. It's very calm. Yes. Yeah. And now pull the other one. I'm glad to see you alive and well and not, virus compromised or whatever. What? Say again. Oh, sorry. I couldn't hear. Holly was trying to tell me something there, but, yeah, hold on just a second here. Hold on.
Go ahead. We'll talk amongst ourselves while you guys do that.
Sorry, she's just sent me an email. She ventured out to the Walmart today to get some medicine things that we needed and whatever. It was a shock. She's, oh, goodness gracious, I see this. Wow. Okay, I'm just going to read you an update at our Walmart here, which is a super center, right? Big one. Holly got to Walmart at about 6 this morning. The parking lot was already packed to the eye teeth, and shoppers waited in a group like in a zombie apocalypse movie to descend on its target, in this case Walmart's front door. People literally ran for the front door when it opened. No shoppers smiled, yet all were polite. There was no fighting. However, everybody pushed their carts quickly, some ran, and videos were the last thing on my mind. Last week, supplies looked better. Today, the situation looked grim. I should have videoed it, but just thinking about getting down to business. Shop and go home, get out of the exposure. Walmart supplies looked like a ghost town overall. Stockers with whom I was friendly said they were beyond exhausted. Here's the situation. Because the front range from Denver to South is empty of toilet paper, a Standeo site reader shared this yesterday. I was reading your report about sold-out items up your way, Pueblo West. Today in town, clerks at the grocery and dollar stores are telling me that people were driving down south from Denver to Colorado Springs, Pueblo, et cetera, to buy toilet paper. Now even Little Walsenburg is sold out of all these top items. There are no, in Walmart, there are no milk, eggs, butter, no lunch meats, hot dogs, sausage, et cetera. They're totally empty. The shelves have none of these. No toilet paper, paper towels, and Kleenex. Household bleach, Lysol, disinfectant, Purell, wipes of any kind, liquid dishwashing detergent, all gone. In short supply are cottage cheese, bagged cheeses, mozzarella, taco blend, etc., paper plates cut in half. Dishwashing pods are very limited. Fresh juice, fresh produce juice is fully restocked. Sorry, fresh produce just fully restocked. Chips of all descriptions, one half supply. Soda restocked by three people. Shelves 2/3 full. Cold medicine and allergy, about half supply. Vegetable seeds, got plenty of them. Dry pet foods, empty. Canned pet foods, great. Soups and canned beans, not a single can. Canned veggies, they're very picked over. I suppose people don't want broccoli canned or something like that. But anyway, frozen dinners, half supply except for pizza, 2/3 of an entire row, all gone. Pain relievers, about half supply. Baking supplies, overall cut in one half with absolutely no yeast. Gardening supplies, good, and everyone should consider having their own veggie beds. And to that, I might add, check on our website for Garden Gold, and it's an ebook you can download immediately and start preparing to make your own garden, because now is the time. Trump said yesterday, stay home for 2 weeks. We don't plan to go back to the grocery stores for a month. If we run out of fresh produce, then that's the way it has to be. You can go to our website, standeo.com, and look at the free preparedness info, which is daretoprepare.com. You can download all that stuff right now. Okay, that's the thing that Holly was just putting together and telling me to share with you guys.
I didn't write this down, but the
cook, hold on. Yeah.
I didn't write it, but the cooks look dumbstruck.
Yeah, she said she didn't write this, but the clerks in Walmart were absolutely dumbstruck. They just looked like they were in shock. Yeah, okay. So there you have it, folks. That's the update on that.
I got to tell you, I purposely did this. Now, we've been telling people to prepare, as you have, for a long time. Last week, I was at the store deliberately. I think it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday. I think it was, yeah, right. Tuesday, stocked. Wednesday, stocked. Thursday, I noticed a little bit of heightened activity, and by Friday, after the president was on, you couldn't even get in the parking lot. And Saturday, I walked in, and there was no meat, there were no eggs, no milk, and by the way, no ice cream.
People are
planning long term. I could tell you this, but all of that said, Stan, the first hour of this show, I had said, and this is kind of my theme, it was my theme for the first hour, is something dark exists within this coronavirus crisis. There's something not right with this in my view. I don't know what it is. I can speculate, but I just sense that, there's something dark within this. And you're right. It's amazing. Even though we've prepped and planned, isn't it amazing to see the shell shock look on people's faces? Like you just
Well, it is amazing, but, we're also getting phone calls and emails from people that we've warned, before saying, where do you get freeze dried food? And you have this, that, and the other that they should have already gotten. They just did not take advantage of the advice we gave them, and I'm sorry for that, but good grief, for 20 years we've been telling people to prepare for catastrophes, whether it be war or a virus or whatever, and they just did not listen.
I have to say this, people today are preparing for a blizzard when they should be preparing for a long, cold winter, in my view.
I know. What was I going to say? Oh, I got a call yesterday afternoon from my doctor, the pain management clinic at the hospital, and they said, you're in the high-risk group, so we're not having you come in. We will refill your pain meds by telephone, and we'll see in a couple months if everything clears up. So, even the doctors are taking advantage of helping people who are in the high risk category not to be exposed by coming in.
Well, that's good. And I hope, you know, I hope that continue. I hope that goes all across the United States because they've got that capability. And sometimes I think it's just a way for the insurance just to, I just think it's a money thing. But anyway, what are your thoughts about this? I mean, look, I believe that what we're seeing, the coronavirus, I just have to say, I believe it's dangerous. I believe that there is something there. I believe it to be a man-made, man-structured, and we might have gone over this, virus, or bioweapon. Okay. That's my belief based on everything I've seen. Now, having said that, what's going on? I mean, numbers don't add up. Nothing adds up.
They don't add up. But the thing that concerns me, in addition to the virus, is how the virus or the reaction to it in this country is putting us in a very vulnerable situation. When our military, our civil authorities, you know, and individual, you know, people, when all of us are compromised and shut in and are closed in hatches for 2 weeks or 2 months, whatever, that our foreign enemies, say like China, well, their stats are now starting to decrease. They're over their curve. And over here and in Europe, we're all exposed and, you know, shutting down for safety. Be a perfect time for China and or Russia to attack us. We're absolutely in a chaos here, and we don't need that. But if they do, I'm telling you, take the advice we've given you on our free info thing at daretoprepare.com and in Holly's book, Dare to Prepare. Get ready to weather a nuclear attack. Get your EMP shield, as Doug talks about it before.
Amen.
If you've got, auxiliary power or standby power yourself, your own power source or solar or generators, whatever, be sure those are EMP shield protected because you're going to need the power because we run the risk of the grid going down if they hit us with an EMP attack. Even though preparations have been made for that or are still being made, your area might not be protected. So, all right, dare to prepare, get it, read it, and look at the things, the different types of emergency to prepare for. Obviously, threat of nuclear war is how do you weather in sight?
Give Doug's code.
Say again?
Give Doug's code.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sorry. Doug, give him your code for getting that EMP shield. Holly just reminded me. It's
Hagman, isn't it? No, it's Hagman. EMPshield.com and use promo code Hagman for $50 off. That is EMPshield.com, Hagman, $50 off. Now's the time to do this while we still can. While we're sure we can get a delivery, at least today. Yeah, EMPshield.com/Hagman, $50 off. You can't beat the price. And I'll tell you something. If you don't do this now, it's like being caught without toilet paper. I mean, my goodness. Get it now. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I'll add to that. We have some overseas sources of materials for our EMP shields. Those are now limited. We've got the factory open and people are working and still making EMP shields. Even if you place an order, now and, not next week, We can guarantee that we can send it by UPS or by mail, but I don't know how long those services will be available to you for anything from anybody. So if you're thinking about it, do it now. That's all I can say.
Amen. Amen. That's right. And it's a great product, folks. It really is. It's almost as good as this roll of toilet paper, by the way. Another one came in.
I love it.
I'm selling this for $999. So the first up, never mind, Stan. We already have a buyer sold. Eric, gonna need to ship that out. All right. There we go. All right. Okay.
I love it. Good. Oh, dear. On our show images page, images 46 through 49 are on stats curves. We noticed that the CDC stats are running behind what the world stats groups are showing.
Right.
Slide 47, if you click on that, let me get into it. Come on, don't do that to me. you can see that, according to this Global Watch, that the cases in the United States are skyrocketing since March the 4th. They're just going to zoom up to the 5K number of total cases. Now, if you look over at the world stats on slide 48 by CDC, it is a little bit behind, if you'll notice, at 800 cases.
Right.
Well, sorry, that's in the U.S. But that curve follows the same approximate curve that you see for the world figures. Slide 46. Oh, it's too hard to see. I got the wrong thing, I think. Yeah. Anyway, that's total cases versus total deaths, showing that the same curve applies to both of them. It's a very tiny picture that I didn't get right. The USA map from the CDC is slide 49. You can see that the clusters are mainly coastal areas, except in Georgia, which might be military bases and whatever like that, and people traveling in and out of there. We've got the same situation in Colorado and Denver and in the west of Denver for some reason. Washington State is obviously bad. Los Angeles, San Francisco, those areas are not the best, San Francisco particularly. And the upper eastern states, that's a nightmare. So anyway, keep a track of it.
I heard one thing just about the Washington area. I heard that research was done that they traced the however they do this outbreak to one person who tried. There were 39 different strains or 39 different mutations. They traced it to one person who traveled from the U.S. to Wuhan and back. And I just thought that was pretty interesting. And I don't recall, it's on one of the Twitter feeds. A researcher who did that, and it was pretty well received. I just thought it was amazing how they can backtrace this to like a patient zero, if you will. But anyway.
Yeah. Just by tracing the DNA strain, that's incredible. I guess when they develop a vaccine for this, it's going to possibly be, DNA types. I don't know. But this virus is such a nasty thing, and it mutates from host to host. It's crazy. It's definitely like a weapon, and whether it be a menace from God to punish us in this planet, and particularly the United States, or whether it just be an act of warfare by, I don't know, China and Russia, I don't know.
It could be
both China and Russia.
I mean, it could be both, in my view.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely, because, the good Lord uses human assets to bring things to happen. Oh gosh!
So is that Stan? I mean, I'm looking at all of the. The United States is shutting down, and man, the Vegas Strip. I mean, I was saying the first hour. One of the issues with law enforcement is if you have a call to a casino, let's say a hostage standoff, they want you to clear that out real quick because not for the safety and security of the hostage, but because they're losing money every minute that thing goes on. So, because I've talked to the officers there. So this is unprecedented. Does the threat match the response in your view?
That's an interesting question. I guess I'm not really in a position to say absolutely on that because there's data that the government has that obviously we don't have. And, it's the response is certainly crippling us. And, I don't know. The answer is, I just don't know how to answer that.
All right. Fair enough.
Not enough.
I don't
data,
either.
You know?
Yeah.
We have to trust those that we've got in power leading the country to do the right thing. And hope the good Lord gives them the inspiration to do that. How everybody was against the administration, against President Trump about building a wall between Mexico and the United States?
Yeah.
Look at slide 50.
All right. There it is.
After U.S. virus outbreak, Mexico suddenly wants a border security wall. Yeah, shoes on the other foot now, isn't it? Gee. Oh, gosh. When even Mexico says we need a wall, you got to laugh, because we've tried so hard, and the president has, to tell us the need for this, just for, you know, economic and the social reasons. We need to put that border up there. And now then, even Mexico is starting to panic, because anybody coming from the United States coming across could be a carrier. And quite honestly, unless it's because they eat a lot more chilies in their food than we do, Mexico has had a kind of a minor number of cases compared to us, you know, per capita. So maybe we need to put chili peppers back in our diet to mitigate the virus. I don't know, but they've had a fewer percentage-wise number of cases right now, and we'll see what happens, because we know it's going to go to every country. There's just no way to stop this. So everybody is probably going to be exposed at one time or another, and we just have to be prepared health-wise. Do the best you can not to be immune-compromised. I've been eating, yogurt, for about a week to 10 days now, because I was on a short course of antibiotics to kill an infection I got in the garden and a cut. So it left me pretty much defenseless that way. So I've been building up the immunity there again, plus all the vitamins and stuff. Sure. You know, the vitamin D3, the folate, and the, 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C per day. Holly and I both do that. So that's it. You just got to prepare and hope your immune system can, you know, deal with it.
Man, yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like there's another payload coming on this. I don't know about this. This has me flummoxed in terms of, really, have we seen the entirety of this? I look at the concern in President Trump's, with President Trump. I look at the concern in the administration. I'm just wondering, what are they not telling us? Is there something they're not telling us with respect to have they told us all about this virus, or is there something else? Is there something else going on here? That's just my musings.
Well, look, you know, I could muse the same way. I just don't know. At this point, it's a fine line between what you tell the population to keep them informed versus what you shouldn't tell them to keep them from panicking. I mean, like what Holly saw at the Walmart shopping center, when she says it's like the zombie apocalypse, you see these hundreds of people standing out there kind of in one spot, leaning from left to right. You'd think it was a zombie apocalypse movie. They're waiting to get in there and get the stuff. This kind of panic, the government doesn't need. You know, they're trying to keep all these stores and pharmacies and things open, you know, for a controlled access of product, where you get maybe two packs of toilet paper and Scott towels and this and that, so that we can distribute amongst the population. For those of us that have been preparing for something like this for years, we have adequate supplies so that we don't have to go and stand in line, you know, and be another zombie. So what is the government telling us? I think what we need to know, but to avoid panic, you know, you can see the panic buying in these areas. There might be something to do with, the failure of law and order as these things start to happen. How do we get military help to police forces without violating posse comitatus? I pray for President Trump and his administration every day. So does Holly. And we pray that he has the wisdom and the health to manage this crisis properly, you know, the guidance of the good Lord.
Amen.
And that's the best we can do.
Indeed, yeah. I don't know. Have you, in your life, I've never seen this in my life, although I'm young. I've never seen, think back to the swine flu. What was it, 67, 68, somewhere around there? We never saw this. Or
no.
That was the Asian flu, I think. I don't know. I've just never seen anything like this before in my life.
You know, I know. It's we live in a developed country, probably the most developed, industrialized country in the world other than China. And It is hitting us hard, and we have high health standards in this country for the most part. But if you look at places like India and, well, of course, China and Africa, in Africa, I worry greatly for the Africans, especially the ones that I know down there, because the hygiene in these places is very, very limited. One of the reasons is fresh water is very, very scarce. There are a lot of them, like thousands, that have to go every day, every morning, trek to a water hole within 5 miles with 20 liter drums on a burrow or in a cart or whatever to get the water they need for sanitation and cooking every day. Yep. And you don't know whether the water source is quarantined, you know, or contaminated, but they're going to be meeting with other people. And, you know, as I say, if they tell you to wash your hands for 20 minutes, you know, in running water here, those guys can't afford that luxury. I mean, water is like more precious than gold there. So I worry greatly for Africa. In fact, in slide 51, it's talking about Arusha, which is a part of Tanzania. And they're right close to the Kenyan border on the right side. Now, there they are being very careful to quarantine any visitors coming in that show signs, you know, of the coronavirus. I hope to goodness they can get the tests they need to prevent that, as the other countries need to do, like, you know, Kenya and Ethiopia and South Africa, everybody. Because if it gets loose there in the percentage we've got here, I'm just so afraid that it will wipe out thousands, if not millions, of people down there. Anyway, that's just my concern there for people I've known and worked with down there.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Slide 52, just a minor concern there. There's an Illinois town that the mayor, I think it is in Champaign.
Oh yeah.
Champaign. Yeah. They're going to ban, you know, weapons. They're going to try to there. Why? Because with the shortage of food and water, people might be tempted to hold up sources or people coming out of those stores to get what they've purchased that they need themselves. You know, that's a sad thing, but do we limit all the weapons at this point where you can't even collect them or anything anyway because people already have them? Or do you tell people just be careful and defend your family and your home and, you know, limit your exposure in public to people who might take advantage of you otherwise.
And by the way, not only guns, but the sale of gasoline as well that is included in that. Now none of those issues that are, or none of those restrictions have been used yet by this mayor, but it's there. So she can restrict the sale of guns and gasoline. And in fact, they can commandeer gasoline. And the mayor's office can also shut off the water, power, and gas, and other utilities. Why? And, I mean, just asking, why?
I know. Well, for those who've been preparing, like you and I, many of our listeners, I'm sure that the majority of them have got auxiliary, you know, local water in tanks and whatever, or wells that they can use. Mm-hmm. And many of them have auxiliary power that they can plug in. You know, generators or solar panels or whatever, they can plug in to, you know, keep their freezers and household electronics that they need running, even when the power goes off for whatever reason, whether it's shut off or whether it's cut off by EMP or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, man. Wow. Yeah. Speaking, sorry, go on.
No, I'm just going to echo your sentiments. It blows my mind. What's the bigger threat here? Is it a threat to our liberties or is it a threat from the coronavirus?
It is hard to know because government can be wanting to get after our civil liberties, more so on the left wing or liberal side of our government. The right seems to be still rather sane about keeping our, you know, amendment rights to keep and bear arms. Mm-hmm. You know, look, I'm glad of that because, you know, I know that, you know, neighbors and people we've dealt with know that we prepared for the disaster. And so I don't want them knocking on my door, you know, armed or whatever to come in and see what we've got.
Sure.
we've prepared to share with our neighbors, but other than that, I don't want any loose lunatics coming around. So you got to prepare your family and protect it. And that's the sad case.
And I'll say this real quick. This weekend, it was interesting because I had two family members purchase weapons. Not immediate. I mean, within my family. Not my immediate family, but in-laws, I guess. And the first time that they've owned weapons. And they said that the lines were extremely long at the gun stores.
So I believe it. I believe it. I've heard that the gun sales and ammo sales are skyrocketing. Just on a more like positive note for homeless and for people who are infected with the coronavirus. You know, in China, they have this 3D printing application which will actually print or build, you know, single occupant or sometimes double occupant isolation homes. And so I went and look at slide 55 here and click on that article. And there's a company here that's building a village for the homeless and a 3D printed houses. And it's also can be used for housing, you know, quarantine victims from the virus. Now, this process is something that they're already planning to use on Mars and possibly on the moon. But using, in this case, we're using terrestrial dirt and stuff to make a slush concrete forming material. And they use this huge thing. If you scan down just a little bit, scan down that article just a bit. Right there, look at that. That is a 3D printer, like the ones that were I was talking about a couple weeks back about printing food, printing sandwiches out of protein. Well, this is printing homes out of this building material. And this thing goes along, and in space of a day, you've got a house poured. And then they throw a roof on it. And, you know, if you scroll down further, you see how the layers are made before they apply anything on the outside to seal it. And even further, you can see, you know, the interior of the thing when it's furnished. A very nice house, you know, homeless house. And further down, you can see a close-up of the nozzle spraying the stuff onto the layers. Anyway, for homeless, this is incredible, you know. And I salute this technology because they're looking at doing it on Mars or the moon, as I say, using local materials there to build prefab homes, you know, or buildings for lunar explorers and Mars explorers that we send there eventually. You know, to protect them from the radiation, to protect them from the difference in atmospheric pressure or from gases in the atmosphere. And this will all be done by robots before any of our crews actually land there. So it's a great technology from the space program, which is now being used to help our situation with the homeless and with the infected. I don't know what the government is doing with this company, but I am sure they've knocked on the door and said, look, can you make blah, blah, blah? It happens so quick. I mean, you know, it's a wonderful solution to it.
Have we got a deal for a printer for you, but the toner cartridges are going to be pretty damn expensive.
Yeah, true. But I just think it's just so marvelous to see. This is something like Star Trek's replicator, except this replicator is mobile and it builds homes and other things that we need, I'm sure. They may not have even thought about. Slide 57, earthquakes this week. You'll see there that the big earthquake releases are over New Zealand and north of there in the fault lines and all the way over to New Guinea on the east coast of New Guinea. It's interesting. Why is that happening there? Well, it's relieving stress for sure there. But over on the Pacific side here in the United States, We're seeing more action up in Alaska and their fault lines running down into the Aleutian Islands, but not so much in the United States. A couple more in the Juan de Fuca area that are reasonable, you know, fours and fives. And then down in Mexico, there have been some significant pressure releases there, which, you know, is not at the south end of the San Andreas, but up in the Gulf of California there, up at the very top where it touches the United States. There's a cluster of earthquakes there in the last week, which some small, some large, we need to keep an eye on. And others in Oklahoma, which are pretty impressive. And also, if you look over in the Atlantic, there are some reasonable-sized earthquakes all along the Atlantic Ridge, fairly well equally spaced along that, all the way up from Iceland down to, you know, in between South Africa and South America.
That's new.
So the planet tectonic plates are starting to act up. It's may mean we're going to see earthquake activity in California, maybe Oklahoma, and up to New Madrid that we have not seen and have been expecting for some time. So keep an eye daily on the USGS earthquake, events, just because I can't update it all the time for you, but keep an eye on that, and see what happens.
Wow.
Volcanoes are going to kind of be more active too, because they're producing some of these earthquakes over in the Southwest Pacific and the Ring of Fire. Right. I think my kids used to say, when I'd say something like a four-letter word over something that didn't work and throw down a hammer or something, they'd say, "Oh, gee, Dad said blah, Dad's mad." And I'm tempted to say, God said and God's mad, Wow.
Yeah. Judging by this, it's not quiet.
No. There are definitely signs. I mean, pandemics are one of the signs of the apocalypse. The judgments in the Revelation of John, or to John. Earthquakes in diverse places, pandemics. We haven't had an economic panic yet, but I'm sure it's going to come because of the interactive global economy, especially depending on the U.S. dollar when everything is going south and we're needing to borrow money from somebody to pay for all these programs that the president wants to put out there to help people. China used to buy U.S. treasury bonds or whatever, and other countries. They probably can't afford to buy our debt now then, so where does it come from? From the air? So this is an economic crisis. In the Middle East, Iran getting to the point where it may launch an attack on Israel. They've got their own internal problems with the coronavirus, but they may be getting desperate and ready to strike. And Saudi Arabia and the United States, we're having a little bit of a distance in the love match between us and the Trump administration for some reason. So is that peace treaty in the Middle East coming, or will it come after a nuclear event? So there's another threat curve that we have to look at. And food supplies. Whether it be the weather or whether it be panic buying, food supplies are drying up. Medicines are drying up. And even China has threatened to hit the United States with withholding key medicines, as an attack on us. So read the book of Revelation and see how many of these things, the famine, the earthquakes, all this is coming to pass right before our eyes. And this may not be the worst at all. This may be a precursor to what's called the Great Tribulation of 7 years. I don't know, but it looks like we're real close. And environmental changes, if you look at slide 53, the warmest winter on record gives way to extra early signs of spring. Well, you might think, well, good, crops grow early. But this affects bees that pollinate the crops. This affects planting seasons. Will it work? Will it be, a solid spring that starts and doesn't have like an Indian spring, where it goes back and forth between too cold and too warm to allow germination to occur properly? I know Holly sprouted lots of seeds and she's planted them in our raised garden beds out there, mixed up the soil like she does. And we're hoping for the best that things will actually germinate, sprout. But across the planet, farmers are going to be compromised by, the need to buy seed and stuff if they haven't already, because it's going to cost money that they may not have. People may not be buying their stuff right now. So the changes in climates, could lead to famine in places all over the planet. Along those lines, if you're looking down at slide 43, it's a place that you want to go, the NASA SDO site, which shows the current situation of the sun in various wavelengths. I look at this daily, and I see something here which concerns me in the fact that we've had a very active sunspot pass us, that bright spot there in the lower right part of it. It's passed us by a couple of days now and didn't hit us with a CME or anything. But I look at the lines of the magnetic field of the sun. Look up at the top. The North Pole is supposed to be up at the top, and you see it drop down, nearly 20 degrees down toward the equator. The South Pole's okay. But the North Pole magnetic field is kind of, weak and out of place. is it about to do its flip, or has it already flipped and we're in trouble? I don't know. I haven't found the report on that yet, but this does concern me that it's lagging so much and had such a big area of the magnetic field is drifting toward the equator, pointing in our direction. Anyway.
Pointing in our direction. Yeah. That's nice to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So pandemics, earthquakes, volcanoes.
How about, we can get to that too. Yeah, that's certainly an issue we've discussed already. Slide 45, looking at the ice loss in Antarctica and Greenland, both poles, the ice loss. It's happening six times as fast as it used to between 1992 and 2017. In that time, we've already lost 7 trillion tons of ice, but now then it's faster, six times faster than the 1990s. With the melting of the glaciers in the south and in the north, this is putting more water into the ocean. If it accelerates any, it won't be the year 2100 that we have to worry about a 2-foot rise in sea level. It'll be upon us now. And you think, 2-foot level, big deal. There are a lot of coastal communities, where people have homes and, you know, and live. And, they've reckoned it'll put hundreds of millions of people living in coastal communities at risk of losing their homes or their lives due to the flooding from a 2-foot rise in the sea level by the year 2100. Now, that's if everything remains constant and their models are corrected, blah, blah, blah. Australia, several years ago, before we even left, 20 years ago, was limiting construction on the coastal areas below certain altitudes because they were anticipating long-term sea level rises that could harm real estate. And so here we see, you know, the ice floes melting. And, I think the South Pole stuff, the Antarctic melting, is due to volcanoes, undersea volcanoes that are welling heat up. Another sign that the planet is stretching, stressing, and relieving stress in earthquakes and volcanoes. This is just the thin end of the wedge. It's just starting.
And that makes sense to me, obviously. In my view, don't take this as being man-made. This is nothing about this is man-made. This is Earth. It changes. Okay. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
2 feet, huh?
Yep. Yep. Slide 44 is kind of okay, ho-hum, but it's an interesting thing to say here that an asteroid could cause atmospheric explosion if it gets too close. Well, this one at its current orbit is not going to be even as close as the moon. However, should deviations occur for some reason in its orbit when it returns, it could release junk that will hit our atmosphere. This is slide 2020 Asteroid 2020 EF. And it's not a fast one. It's traveling at 10,000 miles an hour instead of, you know, like 30,000 miles an hour. It's only about 100 feet in diameter, about 98 feet. It's about the distance between baseball diamond bases, you know, about 100 feet. That's still pretty big if it came into our atmosphere. It has a very wide orbit around the sun, and it's in our Earth orbit, so almost the same. So it's something that's hugging close to us, and eventually we'll probably come close enough to cause atmospheric explosions, you know, like Russia had recently in the last couple of years.
Right.
In 2013, Chelyabinsk in Russia had one that came in the atmosphere, and it produced a flash 30 times brighter than the sun and caused 180 cases of eye pain and 70 cases of flash blindness. So that was a small one. Something this size could be interesting, even, damaging, but it's only like just less than 4 million miles away from us, which is like, 16 times the distance of the sun to us. So I'm not particularly worried about it, but there may be others that they don't know about that come in and cause us grief. As the Book of Revelation says, there's going to be a star that falls into the ocean and pollutes the oceans and whatever. Wormwood, you know, we've heard about that right. Many times.
Okay. And that's... Just to be clear, that's not Planet X or Nibiru or whatever that.
No, it's not.
All right.
In slide 56, speaking of Nibiru, They think they're getting closer to finding Planet Nine, as astronomers discover 139 minor planets past Neptune in the Kuiper Belt. Now, the mathematics show us, have shown us for, gosh, 30 or 40 years, that there's something massive out there beyond Pluto that is impacting the orbits of Pluto, Neptune, and Uranus, compressing them because of its horrific mass. Now, they've estimated, well, oh, they've guessed it. Maybe this is a dark star of some sort, you know, a collapsed star, or, you know, super heavy, super dense star. Then, you know, like this Planet Nine, because they've discounted Pluto as a planet now and making it more like a moon or, you know, thing a part of the Kuiper Belt as a minor planet. So they're saying in this article, when you find 139 minor planets past Neptune, where's the big one? And they've been searching for this for, like, as I say, 30, 40 years. And as our technology improves and the resolution of the computer, of the telescopes and things increase, we may get closer to finding this thing. I don't know that I would call it Planet X, but, well, I guess it could be, but it's an unknown mass out there that it's distorting the orbits of our major planets in the outer rings, you know, in the large gas giants. So keep an eye on these articles and don't panic about Nibiru and stuff like that. I just personally don't even read those emails anymore. Yeah. Don't think it's a great deal. Hmm. Now, slide 54 is something that's one of my arguments being supported here. I've told about the Earth spinning faster in the days before the flood. And here's an article in Space Science. In Earth's early history, a day was 23 and a half hours, which meant the planet spun quicker. And a year lasted nearly 372 days. So it went around the sun, took longer to path around the sun. Probably because the sun itself, a whole solar system, had not undergone a shrinking, if you wish, to where we were closer to it. But anyway, to have the length of day shortened like that because the Earth spins, it's right in line with my argument about, okay, the Earth spun quicker, and because the Earth's diameter was smaller at that time to conserve momentum, that the Earth's gravitational field was at least 1.5. Let's see, 1 to 10, 6, 10, 30. Could have even been close to 1.8 times the gravity we have now, which would explain why dinosaurs, these huge masses, had to have such huge bodies and muscular structures to move in that environment. If the gravity were less in that time, they would have been spindly and wouldn't have needed as much power to move around and get their food. Quite the contrary, as I originally thought, being small like that and higher spin rate, that it would reduce the gravitational force. Doesn't even affect it. It's the mass of the planet concentrating down like that in a smaller space. The gravity increases, and that increased gravity caused the need for large bodies, muscular bodies, and super bone structures for the animals pre-flood to exist, you know, move around. Now, I know there's some arguments today that the archaeologists say the bone structure of these giants could not have supported their weight. I don't think they've taken all the variable factors into consideration, like a more dense atmosphere would have made them more buoyant and not weigh so much, really. And, you know, the oxygen content and the muscle reaction, all these things, if they take the Earth back to what, like this article is saying, to a smaller Earth, higher gravitational constant, thicker air, thicker water, that it would explain the anomalies between what we see now and what was existing there. If we were to DNA reproduce a dinosaur now, I think that it would die because it wouldn't grow up in the environment that it was built for. Gravity would be too weak and, you know, things like that.
Well, that makes sense. And it, as you said, it does kind of fit with all of your models that you had discussed, right? So, okay.
Now, one thing I just wanted to finish up my day's dissertations on. I was in the shower the other day, and Psalm 23:4 that King David made came to mind, and that's up at the top up there of the show images page. I forget, maybe image 59 or 61 or something like that. Let me see what it is. It's 59, yeah. And I'll just read that out because it encouraged me in these dark times that we're in, and they're getting darker. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, that was King David saying that, and I think it just came upon me to share this with folks because, you know, it's a time when people need to not fear. Well, you know, Christians anyway, and people who trust the Lord. He is there, always with us.
Amen to that. Wow, incredible stuff, Stan. That's, and you know, we're not given to a spirit of fear, just tossing this out there. We know how the story ends, and although we discuss things that are frightening, that could be frightening, potentially, and could be most assuredly disconcerting, our faith should be first and foremost to guide us through this. And I thank you for reminding all of us about that. So,
yeah, King David was an interesting fellow, wasn't he?
Yeah.
They've never found his bones, even though they have the place in Jerusalem there where they say King David's tomb, but they've never actually found it. But he was probably the greatest king of Israel. You know, his heart was a heart after our Creator. He said he loved David because he was like him in his heart. And King Solomon was certainly one of the richer, more powerful kings, but not as observant as King David, his father. So I think the Psalm from David was a good wake-up call for me, just to remind myself and others that one of the greatest kings of Israel said this in his times of challenge, which there were many, because he was a fighting king and he had to conquer a lot of enemies.
Amen. That's exactly right. I have a closing question for you, Stan, and I know this is open-ended, and neither one of us have crystal balls. With everything that's going on right now, and specifically about the fear of the potential for a pandemic, or what we're seeing as a pandemic, how do you think all of this is going to end in terms of, let's just limit it to the pandemic. How do you think this is going to turn out? Do you think that we're going to see 2 weeks and the kind of getting back to normal, or will we be forever scarred from this?
Well, I think that we will see, you know, damage to employers, to companies, various other things, and supply chains. We can't help but see that. The government is trying certainly to keep that from bankrupting companies, which I think, and the banks are too, which is good. So in 2 weeks, will we be in the clear? Probably not. It might go into May, June, but I think they will let up as they can to, you know, let the economy start to rebuild. Even today, if you look this morning at the share market, you know, it didn't go down. It gained, and which is a sign that the market tremors are settling down and people are coming to grips with the new situation. And I think that sanity will prevail eventually here, and things will get back to normal gradually.
Interesting assessment, and I tend to agree if things hold the way they are holding now. But who knows? Well, my man, I thank you very much. EMP Shield, EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman. I think it's more important now than ever before to order that, as well as Dare to Prepare. And you said it too. DareToPrepare.com has got a lot of free information there, free for the taking.
You
don't have to be, you know, I mean, it's, and you've given, Holly and you have done a great job in providing that information to everyone. That's DareToPrepare.com for information, not just the book, but information that's free to everyone.
Yeah, well, we gave away 10 copies, you know, ebooks on, you know, Garden Gold on how to do your gardening and all the secrets and stuff, so that people could get it in time to start making preparations, sprouting seeds, getting soil and that kind of stuff.
That's right. That's right. And you know, you're very well respected, and I thank you both. I really do. You and Holly are just tremendous people, and you've done so much for so many. And you've helped us, and you've helped our listeners and viewers, and we thank you for it. And, you know, we'll be praying for your safety as this week progresses. And who knows, a week from today, we might be talking a whole different, about something totally different or something totally worse or maybe better, hopefully. Who knows?
Well, at least we have this avenue to speak. We don't have to get out of our office or house to do it. So at least we can communicate with people what we find out.
That's right. Stan, I thank you very much. I want to say God bless you and your best furry friends there as well, and Holly and your whole family. We really appreciate what you do.
And we appreciate what you guys do, too, you and Eric and the whole team there.
All right.
Take care. May the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless. All right, folks. You know, Eric the Tech whispered in my ear as I was just closing out there. He says, what are you quitting early? Yeah. Got a couple of more minutes left. Hey, don't go away. By the way, HagmanStore.com. I just want to throw this in there. HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com. Have you bought coffee, purchased coffee yet? Gourmet coffee. Oh, it's good. I'm having some as we speak. Detective's Choice. Patriot Blend. Revolution Blend. Mugs. Look at that throwback mug that Eric designed. How cool is that? It's got the King logo on it right there. There it is. That goes back to our roots, Northeast Intelligence Network, and the Hagman Report with King on the mug, King mascot mug. He did a good job on that. Do you know I took that picture of King? But folks, go to HagmanStore.com, as well as t-shirt, the brand new t-shirt, coffee, and the coffee proceeds go to help fight child and human sex trafficking. Look at that t-shirt. T-shirts, plural. There you go. Have at it. Have you purchased one yet? No? Why not? Coffee? No? Why not? Go for it. As I wrap this up, and again, I want to say thank you to everyone, especially to everyone who supports us, supports this program. You know, we're noticing today now where people are starting to get a little bit So we, you know, pull in support and say, nah, give us some time. We only exist because of you, not because of our corporate sponsors, but because of you. And we thank you for that. And a lot of good stuff coming. As I leave you, I just want to say this as well. I found it very interesting that of all places where it really began, and this is to kind of going back to my first hour, San Francisco initiates forced quarantine, all residents, all hours. And that's really a totalitarian dream. Folks, question everything. And remember, the Hagman Report, spread news around the Hagman Report. Truth can't, am I off of time again? All right. Ooh, I want to get out of here. All right. San Francisco, it's a totalitarian dream. And according to the rules there, all residents must remain confined inside their homes or residences, and no one will be permitted outside except for emergency services or monitored visits to the grocery stores. This is an order that will remain in effect until April 7th and may be extended. Watch what they do. Folks, watch what they do. I hope you got something out of the program. Let me know in the program, or let me know in the comment section of YouTube. I appreciate you. I really do. Eric and I appreciate you. On behalf of Eric the Tech, my wife, my daughter Jackie, Lady the Studio Dog, and Theo, God bless each and every one of you. Good night.